this weekend. Lori and I had a great time celebrating our anniversary last weekend. We missed you. It's good to be back. So I'm itching to preach. So I hope you're ready. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today as we open your word. Lord, help us to have a deeper appreciation about prayer and what you are asking us to do in these verses. Holy Spirit, would you fill us today so that we could hear and receive your word appropriately. Father, may I preach your word authoritatively on the truth because of who it comes from. Lord, change us this morning and let us magnify and see the beauty of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We are almost through the Sermon on the Mount, reaching its conclusion shortly. Pastor Tom Richards was here last week, and he talked about judging others, what Jesus had to say about that. If you missed that, it'll be up on our website this week, so you can catch up on what Pastor Tom Richards spoke on last Sunday. We're going to begin in verse 7. Again, if this is your first time here, we're going through this series called The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached this sermon on a mountain, considered to be one of the greatest sermons ever preached. Jesus was a traveling rabbi, and so this is probably not the only time he preached these words. He probably preached this extensively and repeatedly during his ministry on earth. And so Matthew chapter 7, Jesus continues in this sermon and says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Aren't those comforting words? Ask, seek, knock. Three words Jesus uses there. And I think in order to understand this passage, we have to understand what Jesus is talking about. Jesus uses these words in the context of prayer. Prayer, in its simplest definition, is a relationship with God through conversation. Prayer is not repeating some words as someone told you to pray. Prayer is you having a conversation with God, telling God what's on your heart, trusting and depending upon Him. Has it ever captured your imagination that the God of the universe has invited you to talk with Him? Has that ever just kind of blown you away? You know, we think of famous people and celebrities, and sometimes we get all tickled when we get to meet one, right? Or see one. But they're nothing compared to the glories and the beauty of God, of the universe. The sovereign God of the universe wants you to pray, to talk with Him. And He says specifically, ask, seek, knock. These are invitations of how to pray. That's what Jesus is saying. This is how I want you to pray. Now, there's interesting things about these two words, three words, ask, seek, knock. First of all, they're all verbs. Verbs are action words. Jesus wants his disciples to be people of action in their prayer. Ask, seek, knock, all involves an action on our parts to go before God and do this. The second interesting thing about these words is that they're all in the present tense. The Bible, the New Testament specifically, was written in Greek. And tenses, past, present, future, are very important when you understand Scripture and what it means. And oftentimes, words that are in the present tense in a certain mood require it to be understood with continuous action. And so it would not be incorrect for us to translate this verse, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. This is the verb and tense that Jesus uses here in the original language. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And it makes sense why it has to be a continuous action. Because prayer is not just a one-time event. Having a prayer life is one of discipline. A discipline that will stretch you. A discipline that you will probably fall short of multiple times throughout your Christian experience. Having a prayer life is difficult because it requires work. And by nature, we are lazy. Anybody else lazy in here? We're lazy. We all want to pray the prayer, the one and done prayer, right? One and done. I ask God, it's done. I'm going to get what I want. Why does Jesus say, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking? Because prayer is about a lifestyle of dependence upon God. God wants you to keep coming back to Him. God delights in that. That gives Him immense glory to see His children repeatedly depend on Him, to trust in Him. Keep on asking. This word ask, the basic meaning of it, it's not hard to figure out. It means to want something, so you make your request known. Not too much Greek knowledge to understand that, right? Well, ask means. You want something, so you make the need known. If you have a need, this is what Jesus is saying. If you have a need, make it known to God. This is an invitation. Ask me. Try me. Talk to me. This is what a need is. Let me ask you a question. On your heart right now, I want you just to pause and reflect. And I want you to think right now. What is the greatest need in your life? Just pause for a moment. Right now, you have something that's a great and immense need to you. Something that you cannot do for yourself. Something that you need victory in. Something you need peace about. So there is something immensely heavy on your heart because we are all human people. Let me ask you this. That need that you just thought of, have you ever asked God to take care of it? Have you ever prayed about what you just thought of? No? Then this is why Jesus says, keep on. In order to keep on, you need to start from somewhere. If you said, yes, Dan, I have prayed about that. Let me ask you something else. When was the last time you prayed about that? When was the last time you asked God to take care of this? Maybe you've just given up. You raised the white flag. This is one of the reasons Jesus says, keep on asking. Because we are always in need. If that need is solved in your life, I guarantee you tomorrow there will arise another need. that you will have to ask God about. This is a cycle that will continue until the day you die or until Jesus returns in his glory. We are a needy people. But the good news that I have for you today is that we have an even bigger God. Amen? And we have a God who knows what we need before we even ask him. This is something Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. He knows what we need before we even ask him. And he invites us, just ask me. Once somebody told me, Dan, I don't want to burden God with my problems. He's really busy, and I don't want to distract him from what he's doing. Let me say that if you could distract God from what he's doing, he's not God. If you can burden God with your request, then he's not God. Keep on asking. Second word Jesus uses here is seek. He says very clearly, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. This word seek is used in this Greek language to search for intensely for something you have lost or want back. It's used in Luke chapter 15 when Jesus tells three parables about lost things. The lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. And he says of this woman, Luke 15:8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not find a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it? The same word that Jesus says here, those who seek and you will find, is the same word used as a woman who loses one coin out of 10 and diligently seeks the house. She tears the house apart with great passion and intensity and fervor, seeking what she wants back. Same word. That's how God tells us to pray. Seek and you will find? Let me ask you a question. How much seeking is happening in your prayers? How intense is your dedication to believing that God can actually answer the prayer that you are praying? Because when you lose something important to you, you don't keep looking. You don't stop looking, don't you? You keep on looking until it's found. Same word also Jesus uses in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We talked a few weeks ago that the word kingdom of God means the rule of God. What are we to seek after as his disciples? We are to seek after his rule, his control, because he is sovereign over everything. He is sovereign over me. He is sovereign over every strand of DNA, every molecule in the universe. I love this quote by Abraham Kuyper. I said it in Sunday school, so I'll tell it again here. Abraham Kuyper once said, there is not a square inch in the universe over which the sovereign Christ does not declare mine. And this is the God we are to pray for. To pray to. He asks us, seek. Thirdly, Jesus says, knock. He says, knock, and it will be opened. My son Tyler, I just got his attention. He just stood up. What? You talking about me, Dad? He's a drummer. He's a percussionist. In the drum line, Manatee High School drum line. We're very proud of him. Does a great job. Is the bass captain, by the way. Anyway, another story. My son Tyler, all day long, and those of you who sit back in the back there when his mind is kind of drifting, you'll hear him do one of these numbers. You know? And then you'll watch Lori give him a dirty look. Tyler, all day long, he's drumming. Anything he can get his hands on. Well, this even happens when he knocks. Yes, Tyler. You know it's Tyler by the way he knocks. And he'll keep on knocking until you say something. Sometimes I just want to hear the rhythm he's playing, so I just let him keep going. But when we knock, what are we trying to do? When someone knocks on a door, they're seeking permission to enter the door, aren't they? That's what knocking does. Can I come in? What does Jesus say? Knock. And it will be opened. Knock. And it will be opened. Now, we're going to get to this in just a minute. What in the world does he mean? Well, hang tight. Knocking invites us in to a place where we are not. That's what you do when you knock on the door. Can I come in? Can I be where you are at? Right? That's what happens when you knock on the door. What's Jesus saying? Knock. Remember, he's talking about prayer. Knock. When was the last time you prayed? Did you hear me, God? Can I come in? God, can I be with you? You see, when someone knocks on the door, they want to be where you are at. What does Jesus say? Knock. Come on in. That's what prayer is. We have a God that we can confidently pray to. We never have to fear when we pray God. We never have to worry about if we're saying the right words. Now, we can pray in the wrong way. That's not what I'm saying. We can pray with a wrong motive and a wrong attitude, but we don't have to say a certain formula for God to, oh, okay, I heard you now. No. And I'm always comforted by this passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It's on the screen. Let's read it together nice and loud. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen? Amen. We can confidently. We don't have to go to the door and knock in our prayers and worry that God's going to say, I don't have time for you right now. Come back another day. We can confidently draw near to God and find the mercy and grace and help that we have in our time of need. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Because we have a gracious and merciful God. We have an omnipotent, all-sufficient, all-satisfying Savior who cares about His children, who loves His people, and desires for them to know Him more intimately. Well, we got one verse out of the way. Look at verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Those are promises. Those are promises. Now let's break it down. Jesus says, everyone. But let's be clear here, because we always have to read the Bible in what? Context. Let's read the next verse and get the context. Verse 9 and following. Or which one of you, if his son ask him for bread, which will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? The context here, Jesus is equating prayer as a relationship as a father has with his children. Let's be clear that God doesn't answer the prayer of those people who are not his children. Everyone doesn't mean everybody in the world. Context is always clear. We need to be careful when we read God's word. Everyone doesn't always mean everyone. All doesn't always mean all. When we started the service, we could say, if we had a meeting, and we could say, hey, is everyone here? We look around. Yeah, everyone's here. Well, we didn't mean everyone in the world was here, did we? We said everyone in this context that's supposed to be here is here. God answers the prayer of his children. Everyone. But what's the promise? Ask and you receive. Seek and you find. Knock and you open. What? Is this false advertising? Because I don't know about you. I've asked things that I still don't have the answer to. I have sought things that I still have not been able to find. I've knocked on doors that I've never seen the other side of. What is Jesus saying? Is he setting himself up for failure? Because I think we would all agree that not every door we've knocked on has been opened to us. Is Jesus setting the foundation, laying the foundation for a name it and claim it health and wealth gospel? Well, if you've heard me preach long enough, no. Absolutely not. Not a health and wealth gospel, name it and claim it. A loving father doesn't give his children everything they want. Did you know that? You heard my story about Zeke Cavaricci a few weeks ago. Remember? If you didn't, go watch a sermon. Loving father doesn't give his children everything they want. The Father knows that there's some doors you're going to knock on and want to open that you shouldn't go through. And as a loving Father, He's going to say, no. There's some things you're going to seek after in your prayers that may seem like a good idea to you, but God says, I know what's best for you. No. In the same thing, asking. We're going to ask things. A loving Father doesn't give His children everything they want. A loving Father gives His children what they need. You might think that the thing you need the most in your prayer is the very thing you prayed for. It's not. And God knows that. You may not get what you pray for. But there's only one thing you will always receive in every prayer. God. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't say what you get when you ask? He just says everyone who asks receives. Receives what? He doesn't say. Everyone who seeks finds. Finds what? Doesn't say. Knocks on what? Doesn't say what's opened. This is why Jesus says, keep on asking. Because when you keep on asking in your prayers, what do you get? Not the thing you ask for. You get God. This is the promise that Jesus is making. The point of prayer is not to get things from God. The point of prayer is to get God. Husbands, if you only talked to your wife when you wanted something, how would she feel about that? And wives, vice versa. You don't just talk to somebody just because you want something. What kind of relationship is that? But it's a lot of the ways that we pray, isn't it? We start to pray and we bring our laundry list of requests to God. And God, do this and God, do that. And God, I want this and I want that. And it's all about me, 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 I, and maybe the people around me. But there's no time in that conversation that you actually talk to God as your Father. That's what prayer is. Keep on seeking God in your prayers. Because what do you always get when you seek God in your prayers? God. Keep on knocking on God's door, because what will you always get? God. The point of prayer is not for us to get things from God, but it is to see, trust, believe in the God we are praying to. This is why Jesus tells us to keep on. Why? Because He knows that that's going to foster in us a discipline, a rich discipline of trust, of dependence, of worship. When we keep on going to God as humble children approach their Father because they know they are in great need and cannot take care of themselves. God is glorified when His children pray like this. He is worshipped. He is honored. He is adored. This is why Jesus says, keep on. Not a health and wealth gospel. Just pray it and you'll get it. Rub the magic lamp and God will come out like a genie and grant you 3 wishes. I think sometimes that's the way we pray. Like God is a genie in a magic bottle. God, do what I wish. I want 3 more wishes. Give me 3 more. There's no intimacy. There's no relationship. There's no conversation. There's no worship and adoration. This is where the keep on part happens. So in the asking, you bring your needs. In the seeking, you go after Him. And in the knocking, you're saying, God, can I come in? I want to be where You are. God, I want to be close to You. I want to be near You. I want to draw close to that throne of grace so I can find mercy and grace in my time of need. God, let me in into Your throne room. And then Jesus compares good fathers and bad fathers to make his point. In verse 9, he says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone?" Of course. I mean, what kind of lame dad is going to do that? "Dad, I'm hungry. Eat this rock." Jesus, no. "Or if your son asks you for a fish, will you give him a serpent?" No. You're not going to give him a serpent. Notice the stone will harm him. The serpent will harm him. And then he says, "If you then, who are evil..." Well, that's really seeker sensitive of Jesus, isn't it? "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" Jesus says that even earthly fathers, in their human sinful depravity — they're all sinners, guys. Not a one of us here that's a perfect dad. We all have our failures, and we all have blown it at times. But we know how to take care of our kids. Jesus said that even earthly fathers, even though they're evil, they're not perfect, they still take care of their kids. Interestingly, Jesus acknowledges the fallen depravity of man and uses it as a comparison for how good God is. And Jesus says this, and he uses this phrase often: "How much more? How much more?" Oh, you are no comparison, you evil father who takes good care of your children. You may think you're doing a good job, but you have no idea how much better God takes care of you. And if you don't have it all together and can do some good, can you imagine the good that God does to you, who is holy, who is perfect, who is all-powerful, who is all-sovereign? Can you imagine how much more this good Father takes care of you? How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And the best thing that God can ever give you is the gift of himself. You see, that is the greatest reward of prayer. So when you pray, don't pray to get things from God. Yes, God takes care of you. God wants to give you those things that you need. But let your aim, let your goal, your motivation, your seeking, your knocking be devoted to the person of God, realizing that he is the gift. And this is the case for everything. If you think the best part of being saved, of being a Christian, is streets of gold and mansions and eating all you want without getting fat, I know some of you think that, okay? If you think that the best part of being a Christian are the benefits you get, the blessings we receive, eternal life, to be a resident in a new creation — oh, we could preach a long time on that. Again, Jesus didn't die so you can die and go to another place. Jesus died and gave his life to bring you to the person of his Father. The biggest blessing of being born again is not that we get to live forever with God, but that we get God. He has saved us to God and from God's wrath. That is the blessing. God is the greatest gift you will ever receive in being saved, in your prayers, in your daily life. This is why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He is the gift. He is the reward. And maybe you're thinking today, can God give me good things? Can God answer my prayers? Let me direct your place and your attention to one place. If He has given us hell-bound, rebellious enemies of God, love, grace, mercy, His own Son, who bore our wrath. If He has given us Christ, what is He incapable of giving you? Think about that. And when you think about that, of what God has done, pray a different way. Pray differently. The series is called Different, right? Well, pray different. That's my prayer for you. That you will keep on asking. And keep on seeking. And keep on knocking. Because God is your gift. Not the things you want. Tonight at 5 p.m. we're going to begin 7 weeks of praying as a church family. For 7 weeks of our fall campaign. I invite you, I implore you to come and pray with us. And we will pray. We're not going to take prayer requests for 45 minutes and pray 15. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God's face. And I invite you, if you can't make it tonight, come next week. Come. Set aside an hour out of your evening and come and pray. And let's put these verses to practice and see what God is going to do. Father, help us today with this discipline of prayer. Lord, help us to seek You above all else when we pray. And Lord, You know the great needs that we have. All of us have heartaches and burdens that are weighing us down, keeping us down. But Lord, we know that through this precious promise of prayer, we have immense victory. An immense hope. Because You're the God who invites us to ask, seek, and knock. You want us to come. Lord, let us just grab a hold of that. Holy Spirit, make Jesus our greatest treasure today. May You magnify His name as You've been called to do. May You bear witness about Him in our hearts. So that we will not find prayer a chore, as we often do. May we find prayer a delight. Because we know who's on the other side of the door when we knock. Change us today, Lord. May we be a praying church. In your name we pray. Amen.